Well, it isn't my intention of depreciating science in this discussion, but I think in the century that lies ahead, science will have to fulfill a destiny that it does not fully understand or appreciate even now. I think, therefore, we should take a little look at the perspective of the thing. I think we can say that science was conceived in the 17th century, largely by the works of Francis Bacon, the Royal Society, and an occasional contribution by René Descartes. This was the very beginning. In the 18th century, it was born in the age of reason, and the tremendous emphasis upon the liberation and emancipation of enslaved peoples. It was a very important contribution to make. In the beginning of the 19th century, we will say that science went through its childhood. It was growing up on all sides with new contributions to learning. And in the 20th century, now closing, science reached adolescence. It has not matured as yet. It is less adolescent in the sense that it is full of the dreams and fantasies that we find in the teenager getting ready to start out in life. We have to realize that there is certain responsibility that accompanies knowledge, and this is something that teenagers seldom recognize or realize. Many years ago, I was talking to a young physicist on the campus at Berkeley, University of California, and I was asking him how the scientist was able to work comfortably on nuclear fission. Well, he said, it's very simple. We are scientists. We invent things. We have nothing to do with the way they are used and no responsibility for it. Now, this perhaps is a little more truthful than we like to realize. We are surrounded constantly with opportunities for change, but each one has a hazard. Now, science claims to be an exact discipline. It claims to be the most factual of all forms of knowledge, and claims in this a certain superiority over all the arts and ethical cultures of mankind. But if it is really the custodian of higher learning and is the ultimate science by means of which the world should be regulated, then it must grow up itself and find out that growth is responsibility, that there is much more to science than inventing things. There is control of their use. It is absolutely necessary that there be protections upon the uses of knowledge. Now, this sounds very curious and complicated. Back in Egypt, they were faced with this problem, but in a slightly different way. In their day, knowledge was largely religious and philosophical. But they found then it could be exploited, and they had to place various limitations and restrictions upon the communication of knowledge. They had to bind those who received it to the deepest obligations of their nations and their faiths. Here we have made no responsibility out of knowledge. Knowledge is an infinite opportunity to do what you please to do more efficiently. This is not the end of learning. The end of learning is to know what we should do and do it well. This point has not yet been covered by modern learning. We are still in the age where we are not counting and watching the results of what we do. The present century is coming to a close. In a few years, we will start a new era in the civilization of mankind. We now have an opportunity of examining and rationalizing nearly 90 years of the 20th century. Most of the work that has been done in higher physics and biology has been emphasized in this century. And we see what is happening. And what we see is of importance to science, because science should be watching for what other people and other beliefs do see. and make sure that they have covered successfully the various problems that are related to the expansions of knowledge. I think, therefore, we should go down and begin to think about these things. I remember what were supposed to be the first motion pictures. Whether they were first run or not, I won't guarantee, but they were well back. One was the great train robbery, which lasted about 3 minutes, and another was the eruption of Vesuvius, about the same length. That was the beginning of what we now call the motion picture industry. This industry would have been impossible without science. It would have been impossible to evolve and dramatize the techniques of communication without scientific skills, without research, and without all the factors that are involved. So we now trace for a moment only the descent of the motion picture industry until we come down to the time when we begin to see that it became an important financial factor, when it became basically possible to become wealthy as the result of films. The whole motivation changed. A little later, another very sad mistake was made. The Hays office was discontinued. This was the only control that was possible to control the morality and ethics of films. Because that would interfere with profit, this particular impediment to progress was removed. Until today, after nearly 100 years of exploration and invention, we have an industry which is practically morally bankrupt and physically very much in debt to itself and everything else. We find that the film industry, instead of becoming the great blessing that it was supposed to be, and the very great help in communication, education, and knowledge that was hoped would be, has gradually deteriorated into a quick money-making service to the worst principles and policies of mankind. While this was also going on, other things were happening. Ford developed his Flivver. It was a very basic motor car. It was you could buy it for about $50 down and pay maybe $400 or $500 complete payment. This was the beginning of the horseless carriage, the beginning of the liberation of animals. No more would we see these great beer trucks and the drivers beating the helpless horses. We were going to have a new era of communication and transportation. And now, after nearly 100 years of this tremendous asset, we still have the motor car, but it's getting to be immovable. We can't go anywhere anymore. We have drowned ourselves in our own convenience. We have continued to sell them when the roads were not worthy. And today, the congestion due to motor cars will be found in practically every country of the world. The only exception being those that have, by social laws or by communistic controls, refused the use of cars to the public. Therefore, we have a marvelous help that has ended in a stalemate, a mate in which the car becomes an enemy of its own motion. We have no real solution to this, but there is much talk about what we should be doing. But actually, we are in serious trouble. We don't know what to do with these inventions and these contrivances that we have developed. Now, with all of this, we finally have come through all kinds of developments until we reach, perhaps, the most staggering of all, nuclear fission. Without science, the atomic bomb would have been impossible. Without the developments of science, the progression of nuclear weapons would be impossible. And yet, at the moment, there seems to be no sense of responsibility. Why was it permitted that science would do this to us? It certainly wasn't necessary to the advancement of knowledge. It certainly wasn't necessary to the advancement of economics, because this particular invention, discovery, practically guaranteed the collapse of civilization, unless it could be controlled and controlled immediately. But it was not controlled, and it is not controlled, and has gone into the greatest financial cycle of exploitation imaginable, and has bankrupted most of the nations of the world that have dared to participate in it, and all the rest sit in fright of what it's going to do. Now, this is something that should not have happened. There should have been some way in which the most learned, most skillful, best schooled, most educated class of people in the world would should have been able to administer progress without this happening. Something went very much amiss in this very highly prestigious feelings and department of human thought. We were supposed to be under the leadership of a rational, intelligent, progressive group of thinkers. What was the main trouble? Well, I think perhaps one of the main causes of difficulty was that the learned body failed to educate those whom were going to be the customers. We did not prepare young people to live in a world of conveniences and commodities as we know them today. And as a result, we are ruining the young people, destroying their characters, and endangering the civilization to which we are a part. All this shows that something is wrong in the controls and directions of knowledge. We are not doing that which is necessary to make the thing practical and work. Perhaps the thing that was most necessary today in the world of higher learning is integrity. And with all our skills, we have no course on the subject. We do not enforce rules of ethics, morality, or integrity upon knowledge or upon any group of people in society. Each individual is entitled to do the best he can or the worst he can, and no one can be held responsible for it. We know these things are happening. We know the dangers of them. We know the dangers of alcohol and narcotics. We know what happens when drunk drivers drive a $25,000 car. But all this is passed over lightly. We get a few statistics occasionally, but no one seems to know why the most intelligent generation we have ever known is in the worst trouble of any generation recorded in history. We have had more deaths, more wars, more plagues, more earthquakes, more social disturbances in the 20th century than in most of the previous world put together. We find the inhumanity to man is greater than it has ever been. What is the matter? How does it happen that we can become skillful without becoming better human beings? How does it happen that we can know more than our forefathers and live worse? These things have to be considered in terms of the 21st century. What are we going to take forward into that century? Are we going to take this form of scientific research, which might be called an entertainment form, into that century and continue the same way we are? If we do, we will probably be out of business before the end of the 21st century. Because nation after nation is arming in the nuclear weapons. Individual after individual is being trained to accept these things as inevitable facts, when in reality, we should not accept them as facts at all. Now we have another dimension added to our joy, the computer. And the computer could become a great help to mankind, but it could end education because no one will need to read or write again. Also, if that happens, then our literature will be controlled by machines and we will not be able to read what we want to read. We'll read what is computerized to us, which will make it very easy not to read at all and thereby lose all concepts of the individual thoughtfulness, digestion of known knowledge, facts, or ideals. We are in this problem of the computer, which is in danger of becoming the most deadly instrument we have ever known. It is apt to be worse than the nuclear bomb, because it is going to gradually work in until it controls every aspect of civilization. Then comes the desperate moment when the computer controls everything. Who controls the computer? This becomes a very important factor, because even a breakdown now may result in hours of delay and wait. We know that all of these inventions and everything that we are doing and trying to do is stymied because of the lack of integrity of people. The inventor is lacking in integrity. The person who is profiting from the invention is lacking in integrity. And the invention itself is a menace. These things put together constitute a threat to the next century. a threat we have to face with more than ordinary thoughtfulness. So we have to begin now to see what we can do about some of these things. We are already unhappy over most forms of entertainment, but we simply relax and let it pass. Now, nature, however, is a little more thoughtful on these matters than we are. We are in a universe that is governed by law, and this law demands the ultimate victory of integrity, and it will never stop hurting us and punishing us till we behave ourselves. This seems like a very doleful thought, because we have become so disobedient that we can hardly imagine obedience to anything to be less than a penalty. But actually, we are in a universe of law and order. We are in a universe of cause and effect. We have seen, in history at least, the fall of nation after nation because it departed from the integrities of life. And we see today a new world, the 20th century going into the 21st, in which the breaking of universal and personal codes of ethics, that these things have become commonplace. Practically everyone is willing to compromise principle for profit. With this to lead us, we go into a new dimension of time which has not yet been spoiled, and it will be a pity indeed if we have to spoil it. And we will spoil it unless we take something in there more than a desire for more money or more power. With this continued lack of values, we are going to have the continued pressure of circumstances. Now, if science is really going to be a leader, its best place to start will be in the educational field. It should prepare every student that comes out of a university to use the discoveries that have been made mostly and almost entirely for the common good. We should be using what we know to help to build a better world, and not merely to build a bigger bank account for ourselves. We should be given talks and education in ethics. Now, religion is scared to death of the thought of being involved in politics, but it has to be. And politics are not particularly happy to be mixed up in religion. And science, it doesn't like either one of them. So everything is at a complete standstill. We will finally have to face the fact that survival on any level, from that of the savage to that of the saint, must arise from one thing only: integrity. According to the laws of its kind, according to the degree of its enlightenment, each thing that lives must keep the truth about itself. It must accept the reality of its purpose. Science has given us no purpose for life except physical luxury and physical power. In its refusal to allow emphasis upon religious principles, science is damaging itself and the whole world. Every scientist should be a religious person, because unless science is part of religion, there is a very terrible problem that we are not going to be able to solve. The mere fact that a man is a physicist does not justify him in being an atheist or an agnostic. I know one young man who was in the University of California, who was a physicist, married, and had two children. I asked him how he equated this problem with his personal convictions and the raising of his children. And he said, very frankly, he said, well, 5 days a week I'm an agnostic, and on Saturdays and Sundays I go to church and I'm a Christian. Now, this is not very reasonable. It is utterly inconsistent. And new nations now that have come up in the last 50 years, determined to destroy religion because it interferes with power play, have suddenly been forced to return to it again, because the structures they build will not hold together without it. And we can say the same thing of the 21st century. Unless spiritual values are emphasized and brought into physical and proper social applications, we are not going to get very far in the 21st century. We're going to be right back in the trouble we've been in all the time. I think we have to realize definitely that science is going to have to make peace with faith. Now, this does not make a problem as big as we might think it was. Many of the very great thinkers of the world, philosophers and early scientists, were God-loving people. You don't have to be an atheist in order to work a computer. You don't have to be an atheist in order not to want to go to war. You do not have to be an atheist in order to drive a car. But sometimes driving will make one out of you if you're not careful. Actually, the more faith and integrity we can get into civilization in the next 10 or 11 years, the better off the future is going to be. We do not need theological pressures at this time. We do not need to be warned of the possibility of hell, fire, and damnation. Because if you really want that, we'll get it by doing just what we're doing now. And we'll have probably a nuclear war one of our days, and that will be the nearest to purgatory that anyone will want to come. So we do not have to change all of our beliefs and our habits, but we need integrity. And how are we going to base integrity unless we base it upon something? We certainly can't base it on politics. We can't base it on science. We can't really base it on theology. But there has to be integrity. And the degree of integrity that we pass on to the next century will determine how that century is going to come out. Without integrity, it will never do more than this. Just dig us deeper into the sloughs of our despond. There's no way out except by growing up. Now, is it not possible to take away from the world the knowledge that it possesses? Most countries of the world have at least the secret of the nuclear bomb, even if they're not making it. And more will continue to make it. There's no way of preventing this. There's no way of taking away the knowledge that exists. There is no way of legislating against this knowledge. It will simply go underground and continue. The only answer is to change the person who is using this knowledge, to make the individual self-responsible and responsible to society for the misuse of power. The average citizen, therefore, is the one whose code of responsibility will determine the use of knowledge. And until he chooses to express himself clearly on this subject, we will not have any major recovery. Now, how shall we do this particular thing? I think we have to begin to estimate why things are as they are. Why has this century, the 20th, come into the mess that it's in? It is largely responsible to the financial structure that we are in this mess. We have become a people, a world, to whom the almighty dollar is the most important thing on earth. And as far as that's concerned, if there's a heaven, it must be the most important thing there, or no one wants to go there. It is a definite case of where, by stupidity, by cupidity, we have brought this misery upon the world. And it was going to continue as long as we permit it to. As long as we will condone bad television, we will have it. As long as we pay high prices for things that hurt us, the longer we will have them. The only possible way to correct the situation is for the person of basic values simply being permitted or taking the chance of applying them. We need what we might term basics. Now, the basics of knowledge are not necessarily to be found in Oxford or Cambridge. The basics of knowledge are very simple. They're all in the Ten Commandments. They're all in the Golden Rule. Now, when you stand the Golden Rule up alongside of science, it looks very, very homely and incomplete. But without the Golden Rule, science will ultimately destroy itself and everything else. There has to be integrity. And we must have more integrity when we go into the next century, or we will be in even more trouble than we're in now. Because all the things that we are doing now are accumulating us and building into us more trouble. Consequently, we should begin to give lots of thought at this time to the integrity of the average person. We do not need religion in the public schools. I don't favor that particularly either. But I do know that religion and ethics are not identical. Ethics is an integrity. may say that religion impels or implies this integrity. We may say that religion supports this integrity. But whether we are religious or not, we have to be honest or fail. There is no such a thing as a successful crook. Everyone has to have integrity. Now, for a long time, we have covered the whole thought of integrity with the concepts of religion. And while this has been a bone of contention with science for 100 years, the fact remains that science must also find some kind of a way of making honesty the pivot upon which all knowledge moves. To do this, we have to accept integrity. We do not need to dramatize it as theology, but we have to recognize the sovereign importance of honesty. And honesty, if we can discover it, will be a greater discovery than anything science has ever known. The actual fact is that science must discover integrity, or we're all in deep trouble. Now, how can science actually, basically, justify integrity? Science is supposed to deal only with very clear and definite facts. Well, let's accept that. Is there any more fact that is more clear or agreeable than World War I, unless perhaps it be World War II? Is there any way of escaping the simple fact that these wars were not accidents bestowed by Providence, but by the ambitions and corruptions of individuals? In other words, science can prove definitely that wars are caused by selfishness, arrogance, stupidity, and many similar faults. This should be written into the scientific code. Science shouldn't say, well, we have to make better weapons so we can win the war. The answer is we must make better people and prevent the war. But no one is doing that. Everyone is looking for more markets in which to sell the goods. We should recognize, and science should recognize, by a study of this century alone, that every false move, every corruption that has arisen in society has been fatal. Everything that was wrong has hurt. Everything that is right has helped. It is perfectly possible to develop a scientific thesis on this subject and prove as basically as the law of gravity the principles of right and wrong. There is no escaping them. And they are scientific. And those who have lived through the miseries of them know this. But it seems so difficult to get people with highly developed mentalities to accept a simple rule like the Golden Rule. It has to go through physics in the laboratory and be broken down into all kinds of calculations before it's considered. But by the time the calculations are all made, the patient is probably going to be dead. Therefore, the better point is to make the decisions now. There has never been a moment in history where corruption hasn't been the cause of pain and misery. And this should be just as scientific a fact as anything else. Now, in another way, we find that much of science is unnecessary. It is much of it simply a kind of show. It's an entertainment. It is something to amaze people, but not to change the course of anything. A good example of this is the moon landing. This was an achievement that will echo down through the corridors of time. But what did it actually accomplish? We stayed for a few moments on a dead planet and came back home. All the rest is drama. All the rest is the adventure of space flights, all this type of thing. But all the time we were doing these things and spending billions of dollars to the doing of them, we were sitting at home with common problems unsolved. We were still working, trying to find out what happened to the national debt. We were trying to find out why people don't have decent housing. We were trying to find out why taxes are rising above a reasonable point. But all the things such as the moon landing were very interesting. There's no question about that. They might be as interesting as Ringling Brothers Circus. Maybe a little more interesting. But we didn't have anything but Ringling Brothers Circus. but that we should spend great amounts on this and regard this type of thing as a scientific achievement is simply to lower the indignity of science, to my estimation. It is something in which we use some kind of a cosmetic or an anesthetic or something to conceal the weaknesses and the sorrows and the pain that is underneath. We are going to probably try to land a man on Mars one of these days, but even while we're doing it, we will probably find that the sewage system of the Earth is completely overloaded and no one is doing anything about it. We have problems here that must be solved, and without the solution of these problems, I think science is not worthy of the adulation that it has received. It must do something that is important and necessary in order to gain public respect. And this is becoming more obvious because many people are turning away from science because they are now considering it as the principal source of advanced armament. This is not the way it should be. Now, we might say there is a market for that armament, and with this type of sales, there will be more laboratories, more physicists, more biologists, more chemists, and the scientific community will flourish. But if it flourishes over the body that are counted dead, there's something wrong with the entire concept of human knowledge. I think we must know that the purpose of knowledge is to prevent pain. It is not even a problem of being to find a remedy. Remedies will be found by small knowledge, but the sickness itself will be discovered by a great knowledge. All these things are coming into focus for the next century. We're going to have to live there. Some of us won't live there, probably. Some of us will pass on to even to another century. But all these things have to be considered as we prepare for this great jump into the future. We need essential correction in education. We need an education that receives the respect of the public in general because of the fact that it is obviously right, straight, and honest. We need to trust our leaders. We need to be led by persons of integrity, and they in turn must help those who have enough integrity to receive the help properly. Therefore comes a great system of reschooling. We must have something more than the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, as they used to be called. We need something else. We need another kind of dimension. We need revelation. We need something that opens up the inner life of the person so that he understands what it means to be the citizen of a living universe. These things we have forgotten, or probably never known. And those ancients who told us about them are carefully omitted from the quotation books. We don't want to be reminded that selfishness cannot live. We want to believe that it can, and we want to prove that it can by a few days or a few months or a few hours of personal selfishness in which we will gloat, and then all of a sudden the blow hits. Out of our misconduct comes most of the sickness that affects our bodies. Out of our wrong attitudes come the ailments that affect our mind. And out of these together come the ailments that affect nations, and finally lead whole peoples and races into political and military corruption. All these things are part of something that we should have learned in the 20th century. The 20th century was the ABC school of the sciences. It was in this century, now passing out, that we had the full flowering of the scientific concepts. We knew all about all these things. We learned a lot of useful things. We learned how to perform marvelous surgeries. We have saved many lives. We have lightened many burdens. But with it all, we haven't touched the source of things. We haven't touched the simple dignity of being right. We have not realized the importance not only of finding how to do a complex surgical operation, but we should also have the responsibility of not charging for it at a rate that impoverishes the family for the rest of its existence. All these things depend upon integrities, and these integrities have got to be strengthened, and they will have to be strengthened on every level. Those most educated should be the first to be strengthened. but will probably be the last. The individual who doesn't know enough to make big mistakes will probably get along better than an individual with more knowledge, but a perfect willingness to corrupt his own character. We see around us today an increasing interest in mysticism, in esoteric thoughts. We are becoming more aware of the importance of inner communion. We know that the solution of most things lies in ourselves and not in the laboratory. And that if we want to talk about laboratories, we can remember that Robert Plug pointed out that the human digestive system is the most wonderful laboratory conceivable. The alchemists talked about changing base metals into gold. Man's personal digestive system changes foods into the elixir of life by which he lives. All these things, however, add up to a realization that nature is rich in values. There's much more in nature than the discovery of new products and byproducts. There is much more in nature than the continuation of the mistakes we are making now. In nature is also the key to remedies, because nature is very quick to reward right, but it is equally quick to punish injustice. So as we go into the future, we need moral training. We need a new standard of ethics. We need a realization of some spiritual power, some principle that is beyond the ordinary reach of the mortal mind. How science can go into the mysteries of matter, how the physicist can examine all the forces working in nature and not come to realize that there has to be some one universal principle guiding all of this. How can we deny that there is anything beyond what we know when it is obvious that the little that we know will not take care of us, let alone keep the universe in balance? Here we move among the stars. Here we move in a great galaxy. We move in forces and powers beyond conception. And in all these things, there are strange and wonderful principles of truth and honor. And science should be the first to see these things. Who should be the first to recognize the greatness of the universe unless it's the astronomer? He should know it. He sees it. He beholds mysteries he can never explain. And he quietly decides not to try to explain, but consider that his reputation is made if he can discover a new comet. All of this has no bearing upon the realities of things, and we are now looking for something to take with us into the future. We are worried about our own young people who have been deprived of most of the incentives for character building by the very commodities and conveniences created by science. We look with anxiety upon the collapse of our morals and our integrities and the constant increase of crime. Why should it be that a world that has produced great scientific institutions and it presents the highest form of education known anywhere on this earth in public systems should also be the most crime-obsessed, narcotics-obsessed, money-obsessed, and accident-prone of all time? Why are these things not corrected? Science has a job here on Earth that will take 1,000 years, so it's going to try to get something else out into space. What we need is to get the space out of between the ears of these people and get them down to the serious problem of surviving and being part of a universal system that can survive. We don't know what to do with the rubbish. We don't know how much more basic resources we have. But we go blissfully on our way, not believing in God, but acting as though we believe that God would provide. There seems to be a strange inconsistency here. We're leaving everything to hope and fate, and yet we deny both of them. And we deny the reality of the laws and principles which would help us to straighten out our lives. Therefore, it would seem very desirable that every public school system should have a basic statement of ethics. It would be possible to prepare a book sufficiently wide, sufficiently deep, sufficiently simple in its terminology to be useful to nearly anyone above the fourth grade. This should be required reading, and the most important examination in the course should be the examination on that book. They may flunk reading, they may flunk writing, and they may flunk arithmetic, but they'd better not flunk ethics. It's perfectly possible to be ignorant and safe and learned and unsafe. And these things are becoming so vital to us that it's time to do something about it. So we could say that, without going into theology, which is a difficult subject, we can point out definitely that there are laws arising we know not where, but complete and inevitable, which can never be broken by wealth or poverty. The success and failure of our material careers means very little, because we are all going to lie down to a common sleep. There is nothing that we are gaining through science that is anything that means anything, unless there is an immortality of the human soul, which science doubts. Therefore, we are doing all this to lay down what years we have on the altar of the great deity of learning. And when we pass on, we will not know why we were here, where we came from, or where we're going. We like to presume that we're not going anywhere from a scientific standpoint, or that we are going to be perpetuated through our children. Well, I'll tell you, this type of salvation isn't as attractive as it used to be. Not everybody would like to be represented in future ages by their own descendants, the way the descendants are acting at the moment. So we need to get back to the doing-it-ourselves job. There should be a compulsory setup, and science should do it. Because if science says so, it will be done. Even the most adamant school teachers and the superintendents will do what science says. They will not do what the mothers and fathers say. They may not do what the churches say, but they will do what science says, because this is the ultimate form of knowledge. And the ultimate form of knowledge is at the moment very guilty of ignorance. And this has to be corrected. It should be part of the education of every child, the requirements of citizenship in any nation, that the individual be able to define the values and integrities which motivate his life. He should be able to explain why he knows that he should do what is right, why he knows that he should not be out on the street peddling marijuana. All these things come, strangely enough, in a generation of skills. In the last 100 years, we've had more progress in sciences than ever before known. And yet in the same century, we have the worst corruption the world has ever faced. The least we can say is that opportunity of knowledge has contributed to corruption. Therefore, the situation has to be changed. We have to come to a different point of view on what is necessary to be taught. I think for some time, when I was in Japan, I noticed that they had done something about it. But now, with all the competition and trade and so forth, business is probably going to cause this to fade away. And everything will fade away, but profit remains the final goal of existence. But why should it? Why should we be so hypnotized by a dollar? After all, there are no pockets in our shrouds. We're not taking $1 away with us. Why should we be willing to murder, rape, and carnage to get it? We have simply remained ignorant. Now, science could answer that question. It could give us a good reason to prove that we should not break the rules of life.